Anyone else have something they'd like to say before we move on?
You mentioned Dean Lodge. Fire.
This is Tom Hughes again. Yes, I do want to talk about the fire.
I remember that the Pinkham's house was used as the central support station that night for the fire. It's very near. I forget, block away or next door. Or
behind it.
And some of us who were not Episcopalians when we arrived at Carleton and became Episcopalians, maybe partly because of Pinkham. Pinkham has played a very central role on Sunday nights throughout all the years we were here, and they welcomed everybody. And it was a free-floating conversation group with augmented by cider and cookies and various other things on normal occasions and more on other occasions. It's really quite a...
Tom, there's a photograph on our memorabilia table of the group. You're in it, I'm in it, Carolyn Pine's in it, Winnie is there,
Wilder
Crane, the whole group of Steve Barnwell.
Yeah. Anyway, the night of the Dean Lodge fire, that was the headquarters for everything. The people that were being rescued, the fire coming in, getting sustenance, it was quite a rather major tragedy at the time, but some of you probably were in it. I don't know.
Well, let's see.
It's our class.
Mm-hmm, it's your class. Were any of you residents at the time?
This is Mitzi speaking. I think as I look around the table, I may be the only one here right now who was in Dean Lodge when it burned. And I remember that those of us who were at chapel, because it was a Sunday evening, came out of chapel, walked down the street, turned the corner, and saw all this flaming sky, and as we got closer, realized it was our home. And I don't know when it was. Those of our colleagues who were at home, who were not in chapel, were outside running around in their bathrobes, some of them, because they had gotten into their bathrobes to study instead of going to chapel. When it was decided, my memory is that when it was decided that this fire was not going to be put out, they just, some of the soldiers, I think, who, and maybe others of you men who were here on campus at the time, were just went into any room that they could go into at that point. And I can remember that my roommate and I, whose room was on the first floor, stood on the ground below the windows to our room, and there were four or five people. I don't know who they were, but they said, "What do you want first?" And we said, "The dresser drawers." So they took the dresser drawers, handed them out the window, and our room faced Gingrich's house, and they had a beautiful porch. So everything that we got out of our room was ended up on their porch. And then my mother always taught me that in your coat closet, your clothes closet, you should have all the hangers going over the rod in the same direction. So we said, after the dresser drawers, go into the closet and sweep everything off the rod and hand. So they did that, and we got everything that was in the closet. We had they even took the pictures from that we had stuck in the corners of the mirror and gathered them together and handed them out. They took the bottom sheet off each of our beds, gathered everything in it, and heaved that out. We told them there were two portable typewriters on the floor by our desks. They picked those up out of the, I guess there was water on the floor at that point, handed those out. The two scatter rugs that were on the floor were frozen. Frozen in, and we thought we'd come back in spring to rescue those, and we didn't get there at the first thaw, I guess, because they were gone. But it was, my memory, Tom, is that I spent that Sunday night at Pinkham's. They had an extra bedroom, and wherever on campus there was a bed or two, those of us who couldn't go home, who didn't live close enough, were housed for that night.
It was, what month of the year was it?
It was, the fire was December 12th, 1943, and the survivors, the refugees, as we called ourselves, celebrated Dean Lodge Fire Day every December 12th while we were here.
Mm-hmm. Well, then didn't some of you live in the Gridley Gym?
Yes, we didn't know it at the time, and maybe the administration didn't know what they were going to do with us eventually, but at least through the first semester, they found, again, a room here and there on campus for all, but I think there were eight of us and the four junior heads were housed in the Gridley gym. They put up, you know, all these beds and a dresser, a chest for each of us. We had five or six desks in the Gridley library so that we could go up there to study. And so we lived in the Gridley gym for until the end of the semester in January. Then the ASTPs and some of the meteorologists finished their course here at school. So the refugees from Dean Lodge were the first women to move into Davis because it was becoming available.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That was a major issue, a major event in the life of the college, and certainly it had to have been in the lives of all of you who were so immediately affected.
Yes. We found out about insurance coverage, I remember. I think a lot of us found out that our parents' insurance coverage on household goods and at our homes was provided coverage here when those goods were off the normal premises. Also, I think we all found out that the college had insurance up to $50 for each of us. And those are the things. And I remember that on Sunday evening, because this fire had been announced on the radio in Minneapolis, all of us who lived in Dean Lodge were made to call our families. So we lined up at the pay phone, and one after the other called our families to say that, you know, there was a fire in Dean Lodge and I'm okay.
Some of you were all of you went home, didn't you, then? For the
I think, yes. I think there were a few who lived in nearby who went back home to Minneapolis, or a few, it seemed. There were one or two who went home and never came back, I think. The other thing I remember is that because everything that most of us owned was either destroyed or smelled of smoke so badly, we had very little to wear. And so the Women's League got on the phone and it was like a gigantic rummage sale. That everyone donated sweaters, skirts, shoes, coats, hats, mittens, whatever. And this was all there, available to us. We each picked out one or two outfits, and then we'd trade during the time. And I can recall, it was Edie Batchelder, who lived in Faribault. She had gone home right after the fire and said that she thought she might not be able to come back to school because she didn't have any clothes. And so we said, Edie, anything that when we get our clothes, mine, for instance, my clothes had to be cleaned, and then they were okay. The smoke smell was gone. But we said, Edie, you can have everything that you can wear out of these donated clothes. And she came back, fortunately.